can stand beside ideals I think are right. And I can stand beside the idea to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our country. There's room enough here for science to live. And there's room enough here for religion to forgive. And try to understand all the people of this land. This is our country. From the East Coast to the West Coast, down the Dixie Highway, back home. This is our country. And poverty could be just another ugly thing. And bigotry would be seen only as obscene. And the ones who run this land help the poor and common man. This is our country. From the East Coast to the West Coast, down the Dixie Highway, back home. This is our country.
Next, Amy Reynolds shares some tips, hints, experiences, and stories on simple country living, on Living Way Out Here.
Watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see living with simple man.
Hello, everyone. It is Thursday, and I've been enjoying reading the chat as we've been waiting to come on. That's been kind of funny. Anyway, today is Thursday, September 17th, and this is my show, Living Way Out Here, and I am your host for an hour, and of course, I am Amy. So, glad you guys could all be here with me. I appreciate that. I want to tell you, the holiday, actually today, I'm going to tell you what the holiday is tomorrow, the reason to celebrate, but today is an interesting is an interesting holiday. So, September 17th holiday, it's Citizenship Day. And I didn't even know that. It's also known as Constitution Day. Anyway, Citizenship Day marks the anniversary of the ratification of the United States Constitution, which took place September 17th, 1787. It also recognizes all who have become a U.S. citizen, whether by coming of age or by naturalization. Now, it says that the origin of this holiday dates back to 1940, when I Am an American Day was celebrated on the third Sunday in May. Well, in 1952, the Congress moved the date to December 17th and renamed it Citizenship Day. And then in 2004, the official name changed to Constitution Day and Citizenship Day. So, kind of
and
interesting.
And in 2016, by executive order, Obama banned it.
Is that real?
I don't know. It's not 2016 yet.
Oh,
but I'm
yeah,
expecting
that's right.
It, yeah.
Okay, yeah, got it. And then it says, due to an amendment made in 2004 to a spending bill, all publicly funded educational, and I am interested to know if this really happened, but all publicly funded educational institutions and all federal agencies, which all that would be schools, must provide educational programming on the history of our American Constitution on this day. Must. So all schools should have had, all students in schools should have had some type of a history lesson on the American Constitution today. So, interesting. I wonder if that happened, and if anyone even really knew about it. It's also, besides Citizenship Day, it is also Apple Dumpling Day, in case any of you are interested.
Yes, that was a good movie.
The Apple Dumpling Gang?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so, but your reason to celebrate tomorrow is another great holiday. One of my favorite foods, it is National Cheeseburger Day tomorrow. I love.
Okay.
I love a good cheeseburger. Love it.
You know what?
What?
We're going through Seligman. Maybe we'll stop at that place and get you a big cheeseburger.
Yeah, that might be a good thing. Because I love...
And I'll have a bratwurst.
Yeah, I knew that. That's a given.
Yeah.
But it says that there's several theories about the origins of the cheeseburger. And really, I don't care which one is true. I'm just glad it happened because I love...
Many of them originate in the kitchen.
Because I love, cheeseburgers. It has to be a good one. I love them. But it says that one story claims that the cheeseburger was created between 1924 and 1926 by a chef named Lionel Sternberger. And as the story goes, there's a homeless man dining at Sternberger's restaurant in Pasadena, California. And he asked the chef, or suggested, if he could add a slice of cheese to his hamburger order. So it says that Sternberger... complied, and then he eventually added it to his menu because everyone loved it and thought it was a great idea, and they said the rest is history. So, I think that whether you have grill your own or something, but tomorrow you should enjoy a delicious cheeseburger in honor of the day, National Cheeseburger Day. All right? I think that's only fitting and only appropriate, and that's I think that's a good thing. All right, let's just go ahead. I'm just going to tell you, we have kind of a lot of music today.
I was going to ask you about that,
every
too.
Single birthday. Every single birthday has, well, we only have three birthdays, but every single birthday, all three have music. And then I have seven things that happen in history, and five of those have music. So, I hope you guys are ready to listen to some music. And I think it might be good music. Yeah, I think it might be. Hope you guys like it. But anyway, if today is your birthday, happy birthday to you from me. And here's who you're celebrating with.
Happy birthday to you.
All right. Before we get started, I was looking at the chat. Anonymous has a fear of spiders. We have Anonymous in there. Has a fear of spiders, as it should be. I think that is a legitimate fear. It's okay. Because I'm not afraid of many things, but I am very afraid of spiders. I don't like them. And be too basic. You're afraid of mice. Mice are just cute. I don't get that.
I don't get the fear of spiders.
Because spiders bite.
So do mice.
And spiders have 8 legs.
And spiders have, mice have half that many. You should be at least half as afraid of them.
No. I just don't like, you know, it's a leg thing. I don't, because I don't like octopus.
I got legs.
You don't have 8. Octopus freak me out too. And I don't like that either. So, anyway. Okay. All right.
Well, let me tell you before you guys get carried away. Diatomaceous earth is the way to go for bugs. Whatever bugs it is. You know, you say, Anonymous said one of your parakeets died. You're not sure if it was from a bite from the spider or from the pesticides.
Ew.
Don't use pesticides. Use diatomaceous earth. And there's also, if you go on there and look, there's 8, well, back when I was dealing, when I was a dealer for it, there was 8 formulas, there was 8 labels and 3 different formulas. So if you get the strongest for the bigger things like, the city of Scottsdale, Arizona uses it, plain old, the food grade diatomaceous earth for cockroaches and stuff in their sewers. But I like there's a fire ant brand or red ant formula, and there's also a household insecticide formula. They've got pyrethrins in it, which is also harmless to animals. I've actually eat that stuff. It shows. I've squirted it in a glass of water and drank it. And if you get that stuff, it's got a handy sprayer type, a puffer bottle. And you can shake that bottle a little bit and puff it into the corners and everything. And it works good. And you don't have to even put it right on your dogs and cats and stuff. And never have to worry about that. They can groom themselves and everything else. You never have to worry about them getting sick. You don't have to worry about the kids getting sick for petting the dogs because they have 7 dust on them or something. Diatomaceous earth is the ticket. Please continue.
You know, we had a lot of diatomaceous. We had a lot of grasshoppers in our garden, and I sprayed diatomaceous earth, and they disappeared. How about that? So it works. Works really well. Okay.
So who is this Anonymous 2495 anyway? This is good to hear my voice again. And it is good to hear my voice again now that you mention it. But I'm not sure who that is.
I don't either. I don't know. All right. So the birthday's today. First birthday. Hank Williams Sr. would be having a birthday. He was born when his name was Hiram King Williams, but he went by Hank. Legendary country star. He released 35 top singles in the country western bestsellers chart, and he released 7 number one singles he released 11 number one singles between 1948 and 1953. That's quite impressive.
You know, there's a few of these guys that I sure would have liked to have seen how country music would have been influenced even more had they lived. You know, he died at 30-something years old. Audie Murphy had one good song out. You know, he might have had some more. Keith Whitley, Jim Reeves, Hawkshaw Hawkins, Patsy Cline, Cowboy Copas, all those people died in their 20s and 30s. Buddy Holly, all died young, and they were some of the best out there. I'd like to see how that would have influenced music had they lived, you know, into their ripe old age years.
Anonymous 2495 is friends with David and Donna out in Evansville, Indiana.
Okay. I think I know who that is.
All right. Yep, that was Hank Williams Sr. I didn't know this. He died at 29 years old.
I thought he was 30-something. Yeah, he was 20.
29. He died January 1st, 1953. 29 years old. He was a quite the drinker, but I guess he was supposed to be playing at a concert, and because there was an ice storm, the airplanes couldn't take off. He hired some kid or some guy that he knew to drive him, and the driver called ahead and said, you know what, even with this ice storm and driving, we're going to be late. We're not going to show up for this one concert, so we're going to show up to the thing he was supposed to be at the day after the concert. Did that, said he wasn't feeling well, and I guess he'd been drinking the whole time in the back of the car as he's being driven to the concert, and it's just, anyway, something bad with his heart. It's kind of a crazy story, actually, but heart problems that he started suffering from later, a little bit later in his life, and they think that had something to do with it, so... Anyway, David and Donna Carrico.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, another birthday today. Steve Sanders, singer with the Oak Ridge Boys. And I hope the song that you chose.
Elvira.
Oh, man.
Mary took the running with a traveling man. Left her mama crying with her head in her hand. Such a sad case. So brokenhearted.
Love this song.
She said, Mama, gotta go, gotta get out of here, gotta get out of town, tired of hanging around, I gotta roll on between the ditches.
Reminds me of Linda's Lounge in just Beaumont, Texas.
I'm glad that you did not play Elvira.
I started to, just because you said not to.
Oh, did I tell you not to?
Yeah.
Because I even wrote my notes in here, but I forgot if I told you that or not. I put anything, any song but Elvira.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, and then last birthday today. This is a girl, you might not know her by this name or ever, but she's 21 years old today.
Really? Wow, how time flies.
Her name is Taylor Ware. She's a self-taught yodeler. She started yodeling when she was 7. She's been on lots of television shows and commercials in Tennessee. She's used to, I think, play the violin, I think, or something, and then she went to a...
Knowing her is probably a fiddle, not a violin.
Maybe, I don't know what it was. I don't know. But and then she went someplace with a friend, and she saw this lady yodeling, and she was, like, almost mesmerized by her. And so she taught herself how to do it, and here is Taylor Ware.
Folks, she is 11 years old in this. She's cute, she's happy, she's bubbly, and I want you to know that this little girl can yodel.
What do you do, Taylor?
I sing and yodel.
You sing and yodel?
Yes, sir.
How did you learn to yodel?
I taught myself from an instruction book and tape.
Why? Why did you do that?
I was 7, and I really liked the sound of it. And I thought I might just try it. It was summer. And so.
All right.
Good. Let's see it.
Yodel, 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 y
tell you what, I've watched that video, I'll bet you, 50 times. And I hope to watch it 900 more.
Yep.
I love that.
She's 21 years old today.
I like to watch old David Hasselhoff and these guys, these judges, when she starts doing that.
I know.
They just fall all over there. Are you kidding me? 11?
Yeah, she's
11. Listen to that voice.
Very strong voice, yeah. All right, so those are the birthdays today. Things that happened on this day in history. September 17th, 1964, the Supremes released this song, Baby Love.
My favorite Supremes song, I think.
All right. On this day in 1984, 17 years to the day after hitting his first home run, Reggie Jackson hit his 500th home run. It's pretty neat. On this day in 1964, this show premiered, and I want you to tell me, well, I don't know what the delay is.
Everybody better know this one.
They should. We'll see. Go ahead. I have a couple theme songs I want you to let me know. All right. I know, I don't know, I hope the delay is not too long, but if you guys can let me know that theme song while we play this one and let me know what this theme song is.
Oh, pick me, pick me. Now everybody ought to remember these. You know, people like Ziva and a few of them, maybe not. But I'm betting even at their house, they watch some reruns of some of this good old stuff.
Anonymous 2495 knew it was Bewitched, the first one. Very good. You won that one. All right, what was that theme song to that one that we just played? And while you're thinking of that one, here's another song I want you to let me know. What's the theme song to?
Yeah, you said. You put the name of that one down. I didn't know if you meant the new one or the old one.
This one's what I meant.
I figured.
Yeah.
I'm just awesome that way.
Yeah, Doc, you will get your new Lexus. I'm going to have UPS deliver it, so you go right ahead and. Tampico Scout 007, it's, no. BT Basic, no. Not 007.
What, really?
007. No, that's not 007.
Come on.
What? That's not the James Bond thing. That was, Mission Impossible. That's a great movie.
Hello. All right.
And
Hub got it.
Very good, Hub. Thank you for straightening everyone out there. And then this is the last theme song. All these shows premiere, and I'll tell you after we get the theme songs done, I'll tell you what years they were.
I figured there must have been a common connection here of some kind.
Well, there isn't, but well, no. This is all premiered on this day. I thought it was
kind
of interesting.
That's a common connection.
Well, not the years, though, but... okay, go ahead with the next one. All right. What? Oh, Long Slide got that one. Very good. That was MASH, yes. Okay, well, very nice. All right. Bewitched premiered on this day, September 17th in 1964. Hogan's Heroes premiered September 17th, 1965. Mission Impossible premiered September 17th, 1967. And MASH premiered September 17th, 1972.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. And then the last thing that happened on this day in history, I can't even believe it's been this. It seemed like this has been longer to me. But on this day, September 17th, 2011, this is when that idiot Wall Street movement began. Remember all that people all sitting around protesting, whatever they were doing? Idiot stuff. Okay, so those are things that happened on this day in history. Let me tell you our, should we go to a break and do Ripley's afterwards?
Sure.
All right, I'll be right back.
Mary took to running with a traveling man, left her mama crying with her head in her hand. Such a sad case, so broken hearted. She said, Mama, gotta go, gotta get out of here, gotta get out of town, tired of hanging around, I gotta roll on between the ditches. Just an ordinary story about the way things go, round and around, nobody knows, but the highway goes on forever. That old highway rolls on forever. Lord, she never would have done it if she hadn't got drunk, if she hadn't started running with a traveling man, if she hadn't started taking those crazy chances. She said, daughter, let me tell you about the traveling kind. Everywhere he's going such a very short time, he'll be long gone before you know it. He'll be long gone before you know it. She said, never have a lonely when it felt so good. Never have a new one when I knew I could. Never have a done it when it looked so right. Legal in the alley in the broad daylight. This is down in the swamp land, anything goes. It's alligator bait and the bars don't close. It's a real down in Louisiana. Did you ever see a Cajun when he really got mad, when he really got trouble like a daughter gone bad? It gets real hot down in Louisiana. A stranger better move it or he's gonna get killed. He's gonna have to get it or a shotgun will. It ain't no time for lengthy speeches. There ain't no time for lengthy speeches. Say never have I known it when it felt so good. Never have I known it when I knew I could. Never have I done it when it looked so right. Leaving Louisiana in the broad daylight. She said never have I known it when it felt so good. Never have I known it when I knew I could. Never have I done it when it looked so right. Leaving Louisiana in the broad daylight. Just an ordinary story about the way things go. Round and around, nobody knows, but the highway goes on forever. That old highway rolls on forever.
He cuts those waves.
I stab people.
I know I'd be there, oh, and there yet, if I hadn't used the knife.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
And a cottonwood dog, the only part that wasn't bloody was the soles of the big man's feet. And he was caught in about 100 places.
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
The first cut is the deepest.
Goes chop, chop, chop. If I miss the spaces in between, my fingers will come off. And if I hit my
'cause that's what it's all about.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to another segment of Living Way Out Here with Amy Reynolds.
All right, our Ripley's Believe It or Not segment. Until 2011, people who were still alive could not appear on U.S. postage stamps. And an avalanche of snow can reach a speed of 80 miles per hour within only 5 seconds. That's fast.
That's and really if I fast. Had one chasing me, I could reach 85 miles an hour in 3 seconds.
And then, here you go, consectotelephobia is the fear of chopsticks.
Oh, go away.
Can you believe that? Now, I'm not sure where this fear comes from or why it even exists. They're pieces of wood. They're little sticks. Anyway.
Is that Ripley's Believe It or Not, or is that the retarded encyclopedia?
This would be Ripley's Believe It or Not. There is obviously a fear of chopsticks, a phobia, consectotelephobia.
That's
fear
just stupid.
Of chopsticks. All right. That's a weird one. All right. Well, let me tell you, this is even kind of weird, too. In Seattle, Washington, I guess there has been a sea otter there that has been diagnosed with asthma, and its trainer is training it how to use an inhaler. Yep, there's an otter there. The otter's name is Mishka. She was having trouble breathing when the smoke from the wildfires, in the Seattle area. I guess it was pretty thick there. And so Mishka's trainer used food. It's a one-year-old otter, using food to teach the otter to push her nose on the inhaler and take a deep breath. And it's weird, this medication, the otter's inhaler, it's exactly the same medication that humans use in inhalers. So trying to teach this otter how to use this inhaler so it can breathe better. They're saying, first of all, I'm thinking, well, how does this otter get asthma, or how do you know it has it? But they're saying that the reduced genetic diversity could have contributed to Mishka's diagnosis, because sea otters became extinct in Washington about 40 years ago. And so these are Alaskan sea otters that were brought south, and they were reintroduced to the Washington coast, and they have some at the Seattle Aquarium. And so there, I guess some of them are having a hard time adapting, apparently. And I'm thinking if one has asthma, there might be more having asthma. And the trainer is teaching them how to use an inhaler. Thought that was kind of different, kind of odd. There's a this is a neat story. I like this story. There's a lawyer in Detroit, Michigan, and he has decided to change the game for children in the Detroit, Michigan area, elementary schools, the public schools. I guess some of the people are not able to provide needed school equipment for their children to go to school, and the schools don't have the money to provide it for them. So this lawyer, his name is Mike Morse. It's the Mike Morse Law Firm. Well, he invested nearly $500,000 to buy 23,000 backpacks, and he filled these backpacks with school supplies. They all had markers, erasers, folders, pencils, notebooks, and other educational goodies for each student from grades kindergarten to fifth grade. So that was pretty impressive. They said all these gifts, these 23,000 that he provided, they all cost $20 a piece. And they said the kids were so excited to see that they were given these things and these backpacks, and then to open them up and see that they're all filled with the school supplies. They were even more excited. So there's 65 schools. There's 65 schools in Detroit, elementary schools, and all the children in those schools got these. So that's a really neat thing. It says, the man says that I think it teaches them that there are people out there in the community that care about them. They want them to succeed, that they want them to win at life. That's what the lawyer said that provided all these for them, which I think is a very nice thing. I think it's a really good thing. But anyway, they're saying that it's really nice because there's some people that, they just can't afford to buy their, I guess these schools are, the children wear uniforms, but some of the parents can't afford to buy uniforms and school supplies, so they opted for the uniforms, leaving the school supplies, oh well, what are we going to do? And so this lawyer found out about it and decided, hey, I want to fix that. But he says, well, as a result of this donation, the children all now have, they all have supplies that they need to start the school year. And I guess there was a family of five that was incredibly grateful and said that, this is a very wonderful thing that this man had done. They said that for whatever reason, they had to move to Detroit. And they said that they heard nothing but bad things about Detroit. In fact, this story is the only good thing I've heard about Detroit. But
there's another good thing about it.
What's that?
It's a long ways from here.
Oh, yeah. But they said that they only heard bad things about Detroit before they moved there. But he said this actually helped us to realize that there are some generous people everywhere. And we're very, very thankful for that. So, anyway. And then, I guess this guy's going to continue to do this. So far, for next year, he has already raised $550 from public donations to helping every Michigan student. Not only Detroit, he wants to help every Michigan student. So that's, he's already getting ready for next year to see if that will, that will be able to happen. So that's a neat thing. And things, supplies for backpacks. The schools give you a whole list of stuff that the kids need. And now, you look at it, they need 12 pencils. I'm not sure you go through 12 pencils in a school year, but I don't think I ever did. That's a lot. But then there's...
Well, I did. Many times I went up to the pencil sharpener and sharpened them just because I needed to walk by somebody's desk or throw something to somebody or whatever. So I made a lot of trips up to the pencil. So I'm sure I used a dozen a year, easy. At least.
I have a feeling you probably weren't... were you a problem student?
No, but I damn sure had some problem teachers.
Oh, it was a teacher's fault. Oh, I see. Okay, well, that answers that question. Okay. Anyway, they have, and I don't know if it's where you guys are, but here, and maybe it's everywhere, but you get a whole list of school supplies, but there's like four boxes of Kleenex. There's three reams of lined paper. Well, what they're doing now, because we ask about this, is they're getting all these supplies from the kids when they come to school, the teachers are, when they come to school, and then they're putting all this stuff in the closets, and then for any child that needs them, they just pass them out. So I guess there's people that can't afford them and people that can. The people that can't afford them, basically the other kids are supplying their school supplies for them.
Well, there was one family that didn't participate in that program.
Who was that?
Us. When I found that out, I sent her to school with one pencil and one Kleenex and one crayon. This is not for everybody else. This is for you. I about went through the roof.
Because I guess the schools don't get the funding or enough funding for school supplies anymore, which is a sad thing.
Well, we always had to take our own stuff, too, when I was a kid. But it was never once mentioned to, you know, bring a lot of extra for the people that can't afford their own.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. So the schools, they can't afford to supply it.
Yeah.
So they want anyone else to. But anyway, so.
Yeah, well, that's not my problem.
Anyway. Now, this is a neat story. This is a really good story, too. And there is a, do you remember a couple days ago, last week, we talked about September 11th, 2001. We all know what happened that day. Well, there is a banking firm, an investment banking firm called Sandler O'Neill and Partners. They are on the 104th floor in the World Trade Center. 66 men and women that worked for that company that were at work that day lost their lives. From that 66, just from the one company. So what had happened is the owners of the Sandler O'Neill Foundation, and what they did, they set up a trust fund for the children of the parents that lost their lives. There was what this investment banking firm did is they supplied college tuition for all the 76 children of their fallen colleagues. Full ride scholarships. And the person that did this report said that they called the other day to talk about those children and how that scholarship thing was going. And he said that he learned that 54 young men and women have had their college tuition paid for so far. There's another 22 that are still eligible. They have not reached college age yet. And they said that the 54 who are attending or have attended college have gone to every sort of college imaginable, from Stanford to Notre Dame to community colleges and technical institutes. And this place has paid for their funding 100%. That's when it says 4 students have attended Boston College, and they're saying that there's other. Let me just read this one part. It says 4 students have attended Boston College, the alma mater of Wells Crother, the 24-year-old Sandler O'Neill employee who saved as many as 12 people in the South Tower before running back upstairs to save more people and never being seen again. The youngest child eligible was born 6 weeks after September 11th. When that child graduates from college, the Sandler O'Neill Foundation will cease to exist, except in memory, but what a resounding memory it will be. One of the founders of this foundation, his name is Andy Armstrong. He said that he didn't work for Sandler O'Neill. It was just one of his ideas to do this. And he was a friend of the Sandler's surviving partner. And he said that, this is something that will be known, that will be talked about for a long time, if not, I mean, in the passing years. He said it's just going to be, it's going to be sent, even though that foundation, after the last child graduates from college, that foundation will, you know, will no longer be in existence. But they said it's just a good feeling of us being able to help our employees' children, which I think is neat. It's a neat deal. They said that people have donated millions of dollars to set up a foundation. It says we have no salaries and no expenses except fees to stay extant. It says that I know most of the children who went to college. You wouldn't believe some of the letters they have written in appreciation. I think they particularly appreciate that we remember their mom and dad this way. Many of them hardly knew their moms and dads. So what a neat deal, a neat thing. They says the guy that one of the founders of this foundation, he says what exactly, why did you do that? Basically is what he said. And this is his quote. Because there was a moment to stand up, a moment in time to stand up. Because we believe that what we did would echo for 100 years in the families of our people, their kids and their grandkids. Because how we conducted ourselves in those first few hours and days would define who we really were and what we were about. Because I knew that if we were not honorable, then we stood for nothing. I concluded immediately that we would not be intimidated, we would not go out of business, and we will come back stronger than ever and be an example of people who worked and lived with honor. And that meant taking care of our people and their children with respect and reverence. So we did that. We figured what we did and how we did it was our way of fighting idiots like Bin Laden. You want us to fall apart? Then we will survive and flourish. You want to destroy us? Then we will insist even more on acting with honor. That's what the foundation was for and is for. We want our defiance and reverence to echo for a century so that the grandchildren of our people will know we stood for something and acted honorably when it really counted. Good deal.
Yes, very good. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yep, it's very
nice.
You know,
back when a minute ago you talked about the donations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They could do that in those schools instead of telling you, you bring this much for these kids that can't afford it. They should say, you know, if you can, we have students that are less fortunate. You know, mm-hmm. if you can, bring a little extra for them. And you know what? I bet they'd get 9 times more stuff.
It's all in the delivery.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
When you tell me I have to, then I have a
you put
immense
up a fence.
Problem.
You put up a wall, and a lot of people do. That's just human nature. But yeah, if you word it in such a way, then people will gladly and willingly provide.
You know what? I don't mind too much when it's something essential. I don't mind being told what to do when there's something to do. But it's the welfare thing that gets me when you have, a lot of those people are due to faults of their own instead of misfortune,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of, you know, whatever it may be, drugs, drinking, gambling, laziness, whatever the case is, to order me to come and bring enough stuff for them doesn't work for me. But I'd be happy if they'd just say, you know what, if you got a few extra pencils and stuff around, we have some kids that could benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I'd bring them a 5-gallon bucket full of it. I'd bring them three times more than what they would tell us to.
Yeah, I know. That's a neat thing. But,
That's right, Be Too Basic. You make more money sitting on the system than a lot of us do working. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's a sad thing, too. Well, anyway, I thought that was a neat thing that company did, that bank, that lost 66 workers, and they provided the full ride scholarship for every one of their children that were born or about to be born when September 11th, 2001 happened. So the full ride scholarship, which is amazing. I think that's a neat thing. All right, well, I have just a few minutes, and there's something that I want to read. It's kind of long, though. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe I better not.
How long is it?
It's long.
No.
It's like that and that.
It might be a little longer. That might be a good thing for you to do tomorrow on a Friday.
All right, well, I will just end a few minutes early then? Because this is, I mean, I have a few minutes, but I don't have enough minutes for this other little story thing that I want to read. So
it works out okay.
Yeah, so I will end now. You guys, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. And good night, and I'll see you tomorrow night.